after several years of strained relations between Syria and the United States. Two senior U.S. officials met today with the Syrian foreign minister. Visits part of an effort by the Obama administration to try to improve ties between the two countries. But here in the U.S., there's another delegation bringing the arts of that region to America. This month, the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. is hosting a three-week festival called Arabesque, Arts of the Arab World. Syrian clarinetist and composer Kenan Osmay is one of many artists performing at the festival. He's played with the Syrian National Symphony Orchestra and has released three albums with his ensemble group, Hawar. He stopped by our studio earlier this week. Mr. Osmay, thanks very much for joining us in our studio.
Thank you very much.
As I understand it, you spend a good deal of time in the United States as it is.
For the past 8 years, I've been traveling actually back and forth between New York and Damascus. Because I travel almost every month. I go to Damascus for concerts or for workshops. But my main base now is in New York. I'm finishing my doctorate now at CUNY, the University of New York.
So what does this mean to you, a new approach?
Well,
of course, you musicians have been talking for a long time.
I tell you what it is. Basically, I mean, you mentioned the name of my band. My band is Hewar. Mm-hmm. Hewar means dialogue in English. That's the Arabic word for dialogue. It's a bit too late. I think dialogue, in terms of the concept itself, should never be left out. Like, you should have dialogue with all the people, like your enemies, your friends, whatever. Mm-hmm. When it comes to my musical world, the whole idea of dialogue and being open to the other is actually what shapes my musical journey. I maneuver between Arabic music and jazz and classical, and I think equally, I feel that I'm equally connected to all these different cultures. So dialogue is a concept I live by, in a way, mm-hmm. especially making my music.
How did you wind up playing the clarinet?
It's a little funny story. I started learning the violin when I was 5. Mm-hmm. And then I had a hard time holding my bow in my right hand. I'm extremely left-handed. And my dad, being a curious by nature, he, back in the days, Encyclopedia Britannica had this system where you can send them questions and they'll reply with like articles. So he told them, my son is 5, he's trying to learn the violin. He's having really miserable time trying to learn. What do you suggest? So they sent him this 50 pages articles about he can do that, he can do this, and including the option that maybe I should be switching the strings of the violin, which means I can never be able to play in an orchestra because my bow will be entering my neighbor's eye in a way.
Oh, right.
So the other option was to switch to an even-handed instrument. And in Damascus, this is in the early 80s, the only instrument that did fit the criteria were clarinet and piano. And I thought, well, I'd like to be able to travel with my instrument. And that was the clarinet.
I want to ask you about some music you performed. You have an album, 9 Days of Solitude, with your group, Hawar. You dedicate this song to airports, to all those who are kept in neon-bright airport back rooms.
So the story of the piece actually happens this way. Every time I travel in every airport, usually there are two lanes. Mm-hmm. One for the locals, the citizens, and one for visitors. And every time I land in JFK, because this is where my base is now, when I show my Syrian passport, suddenly I'm sent to a third lane that most people don't know it exists. It's in the back of the airport somewhere, mm-hmm. where you get questioned and interviewed. Even though I travel very often, as I said, but every time they have to go through the same process. And it's in this room in the back where I meet my friends from Iraq, from Iran, from Sudan, from lots of countries that are stereotyped. Fairly so or not, that's a different matter, obviously. And sometimes it gets quite annoying because they keep you for a few hours. So after a few years of doing this, I decided to like really use my time creatively. So I wrote that piece, Airports, and I always dedicate that piece to all these people, actually, who I meet in these rooms in the back. whether they're officers or people who are actually going through that process. Mm-hmm. So just basically, it's just my artistic objection kind of expression.
You have a new album, Complex Stories, Simple Sounds, and you've agreed to let our listeners have a sneak preview.
Absolutely.
One of the tracks, Ibn Arabi Postlude. Let's listen to a little bit if we could.
Ibn Arabi was an Arabic philosopher from the 10th and 11th century, and he belonged to the school of thought where free expression is actually sacred. And the piece is written with having the thought in mind that actually all free expression is sacred and should be sacred. And it's a piece that actually have a very flexible form, and it's very free. And lots of people can take really solos in the piece, where they can just take the piece into a different direction from where I wanted it to go. So it doesn't really have a story per se, but it's basically, it's what I believe in that actually music should be free.
Clarinetist and composer Kenan Azmi played with his ensemble this week at Washington's Kennedy Center. It's part of the series Arabesque, Arts of the Arab World. His new album, along with pianist Dinuk Wajiratna, is Complex Stories, Simple Sounds. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you.
You can hear full-length songs by Kenan Azmi and watch a video of his performance at the Kennedy Center at our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.